This sermon is recorded and will be preached at St. Paul's Anglican Church in Athens on Sunday the 15th of August, the feast of the falling asleep of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The main text is St. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. Today the Church Universal commemorates a feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This celebration is kept by the Orthodox, Catholic, and Anglican traditions. On this date, the Orthodox speak of the eternal sleep of the Mother of God, and Blessed Mary is referred to in Orthodoxy as Panagia, All Holy. The Roman Church celebrates what we now call the Assumption, a dogma that is barely 200 years old, as currently understood and taught. In Greece, this date is always a public holiday, and for those outside Greece who may not know it, there are many for whom today is their name day, their Ιορτή Ονομαστική. People such as Panayotis, Panos for short, or anyone with the name Maria. On this date, theologically, the Anglican tradition is more akin to the East than to Rome, and for centuries since the Reformation, we have commemorated the Dormition, the falling asleep of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Blessed Mary is human mother of the incarnate Jesus, the fully human Jesus. We must remember, however, that in Christian theology, this same Jesus is also fully divine. So Mary is mother of Jesus, but at the same time, paradoxically, mother of God, as Jesus of Nazareth is both fully human and fully divine. It's on account of this that Blessed Mary is worthy of the titles ascribed to her by the Church. So she is Panagia, All Holy, in all three traditions, even if only the Orthodox use this distinctive Greek title. In the falling asleep of the Blessed Virgin, we learn something through her as the Theotokos, bearer of our Lord and God, about our own calling to inhabit and participate in the divine life. In this feast today, there is a message about the continuity of our everyday earthly lives into the life that does not come to an end. In our faith, we believe that when we die, our lives are not ended, but transformed and changed. As we have worshipped God and Christ here on earth, so we pass from earthly life to the heavenly life, where we are infused with the company of all faithful believers, the living and the departed. As Anglicans, we may not necessarily have been exposed to a high profile of Blessed Mary, and if you are nurtured in some parts of the Anglican tradition, you might even be forgiven for thinking that the Anglican Church doesn't do Mary. Yet this would be an entirely wrong assessment of our own tradition. To neglect Blessed Mary would be a wilful rejection of scriptural witness, and very specifically, the first two chapters of St. Luke's Gospel, where we are informed of Mary's first introduction into the divine story, to use a phrase of the great Anglican priest and theologian Austin Farrer. Although the Reformed Church of England excised all excessive cultic worship of Mary that had accrued in the medieval Western Church, and never adopted the Roman Catholic dogmatic statements of her assumption into heaven, nor the official title Immaculate Conception, nonetheless our annual holy calendar marks the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary on the 2nd of February, the feast that we know as Candlemas, the Annunciation on March the 25th, her visit to her kinswoman Elizabeth on May the 31st, her Dormition falling asleep today on the 15th of August, September the 8th, on which we commemorate the birth of Mary, and December the 8th, when we mark her conception. Our liturgical year is marked with commemorations of Mary, thanks be to God. For God chose her to be the means by which the mystery of the birth, life, and death of Christ became possible in the divine economy. The womb and the tomb give birth to our renewal as children of God. The great Anglican hymn writer and non-juring Bishop of Bath and Wells, Thomas Ken, who lived between 1637 and 1711, wrote a beautiful hymn which begins, "Her virgin eyes saw God incarnate born." He was one of the seven Church of England bishops who refused to publish James II's Declaration of Indulgence, hence the title Non Juring. Bishop Ken was no supporter of Roman Catholicism, yet he penned this beautiful hymn about Blessed Mary. The final stanza runs as follows. "Heaven with transcendent joys her entrance graced, next to his throne her son, his mother placed, and here below now she's of heaven possessed. All generations are to call her blessed." Mary has her especial place in the divine economy of our salvation in Christ. Austin Farrer says, "When we think of Mary, or of any saint departed this life, we are thinking of an actual citizen of paradise. As the Church, we are the body of Christ, and so Mary is a co-citizen with us in that body, and thus we do not expel her from our Anglican theology, nor from our liturgical and prayerful practice. Her place is well described in one of the prayers of Bishop Lancelot Andrews, the influential 17th century Bishop of Ely, then of Winchester. He says, "Commemorating the all-holy, immaculate, more than blessed Mother of God and ever Virgin Mary, with all saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life unto Christ God, unto thee, O Lord, for unto thee is due glory, honour, and worship." These are none other than the great titles ascribed to Mary by the churches of the East and West alike. As Anglicans, we may not grant Mary the high profile in the way the Orthodox and Roman Catholics do, but we fool ourselves if we think her imprint is not present in the life of our Church, if we think that her place in the body of Christ is not unique and therefore worthy of honour, if we think that she is simply incidental to the work of salvation that God is doing in Christ. Again, Austin Farrer offers us a worthy reflection on this. If she is loved, it is because she is. She has her place in the body of Christ, and it is a place no other creature can share. Christ is worshipped for what he uniquely is in each of his sainted members. The relation of Mary to Jesus is an endless subject of fruitful contemplation, and her will is a handle to take hold of the will of God. Her glory is that she is the Virgin Mother of God. What more can be added to it? Amen.